Are we blind? It's an interesting question, isn't it? And at first, I think everyone in this room would answer, what? No. I mean, some of us may have trouble making certain things out sometimes, especially if we're a little older. And some of us may wear really powerful prescriptions, but at least we can see enough to function. So, if I ask the question, are we blind? I can see how one might initially react like I was goofy. But brothers and sisters, there is more to life, more to what's real in this world than what we can see, than what we can reach out and touch. And there are, sadly, so many ways to be blind that have nothing at all to do with glasses or sight. Today's readings point this out, if we can see it. Samuel is sent by the Lord to anoint the next king of Israel. And Samuel, being a pretty insightful guy, looks at Jesse's first son. He sees the ancient equivalent of an NFL quarterback, and he thinks, surely the Lord's anointed is here before him. But what does God say? Not as man sees, does God see. Because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. Now, was Samuel blind? No. But it took him seeing as God sees in order to find David. Now look at our rather long gospel reading. Jesus says two key things that help, maybe, for us to answer my original question. First, he says, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind. Then, in answer to the Pharisees' question, Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, we see. So your sin remains. Now, I don't think it's hard for us to criticize the Pharisees, lo, these 2,000 years after the fact, because the Gospel of John, at least, makes it clear all over the place that the Pharisees were, of course, opposing Jesus for most of his public ministry. So we can see Jesus making them look dumb, and we can kind of laugh behind our hands at him and at the way that he treated them. But brothers and sisters, I would argue that what Jesus told the Pharisees, we could apply to ourselves in some measure every single day. How many ways are we blind to God's will for us? How often do we declare, we see, but yet our sin remains? Do we see the little ways that sin creeps into our lives? Or are we blind to them? Do we see how the television shows that we choose to watch, or the lyrics to the music that we allow ourselves or our children to consume, or the magazines or the movies or you name it, how they little by little just turn us away from God? Do we see how the small sinful choices that we make harden our hearts and make it easier to rationalize slightly bigger sins the next time? Do we see the gradual cheapening of the gift of sexuality, the attack by the evil one, and make no mistake, it is an attack, against the way that all of us best reflect God's life-giving love for mankind? Do we see ourselves making excuses like, well, you know, everybody does it, or, oh, God will understand? He won't. But thanks be to God, brothers and sisters, that God wants better for us. Maybe we can't see all the ways in which we separate ourselves from God, but there's hope. St. John of the Cross, in his book, Ascent of Mount Carmel, compared our souls to a pane of glass on which the divine light shines. Now, when that pane of glass is turned away from God, you can kind of look at it and say, oh, well, you know, everything's okay. But as that pane of glass slowly turns more and more toward the light, more and more of those little imperfections, those little smudges, the little dirty spots start to show up. And it's in that turning, in that conversion of our hearts, that our hope lies. Because, see, as we turn more toward the light of Christ, we can see things. We can see things we didn't see before. We can see Jesus Christ speaking to us in the Scriptures. We can see Jesus Christ in the person of the priest offering us the forgiveness of our sins right back there in the sacrament of reconciliation. And most importantly, we can see Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, present on this altar at every Mass that we celebrate. We can see Christ so that when the minister of Holy Communion holds up the host and says, the body of Christ, our amen, our yes, I believe, it actually means something. And ultimately, and maybe most importantly, we can see what needs to change in our lives to conform us more to Christ and to God's vision for us so that we can accept the grace from God to make those changes. Are we blind? Yeah. But that's part of the nature of being human. Our sinful nature blinds us to the reality of God's love for us sometimes. And to the extent that we give ourselves over to our sinful nature, as Jesus told the Pharisees, our sin remains. But thanks be to God, brothers and sisters, that God does want more for us. Thanks be to God that He sent the Son of Man so that we can believe in Him, so that we can believe Him and we can be saved. This season of Lent offers us a chance to turn toward the light of Christ. Lent offers us a chance to examine our lives, to root out that which draws us away from God, which turns us away from God, and to let Christ cure our blindness. Are we blind? It's still an interesting question. Not as man sees, does God see. Christ wants us to see with God's eyes.